Yes, welcome. It's in order. Very excited to start a new sesta. Some of us are learning it daily in the morning. Some of us are learning it in other places and other speeds. But we're happy, hopefully, to be able to meet regularly once a week to discuss a topic or two a little bit more in depth from that week's daf. In the opening of daf beis here in Rosh Hashanah, so as if you've done the daf in any depth, you know that the basic theme of this whole daf, and it stretches until the middle. My morning shiur, we're already on the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph, and it's still the same theme. And that is one of the halachos that are in the Mishnah, the famous Mishnah of Arba Rosh Hashanim. And of course, the first thing that we're told is that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Rosh Hashanah l'malachim. What does that mean to be Rosh Hashanah l'malachim? So as the Gemara explains on Daf Beis Amud Beis, and particularly with Rashi, we understand the notion that it has to do with dating the contract. And Rashi has this particular case of what if it was a situation where people didn't see the loan, then they heard about a loan. That's a pretty convoluted case, and Tosfos asks on that, how could it be that no one ever thought of, or no one remembers the date of the inauguration? Right? You know, we know that hundreds of millions of people are going to never forget tomorrow's date, so not every inauguration is historical as tomorrow's, but nevertheless, it's hard to believe. That's interesting discussion between Rashi and Tosfos. And another point which Rashi mentions, which is also controversial, is that Rashi says that here on Beis Amud Aleph, that the purpose of counting mentioning the king's reign is l'shlom malchus. And he makes reference to the famous halacha in the context of Gittin, that we used to date the get because of, in a connection with the melech. And there, the context is clearly the non-Jewish king who we are afraid of. However, Tosfos here on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, Dibra Maschul L'malachim, points out that the Gemara here already on Daf Gimel tells us that, in fact, we're not talking about non-Jewish kings. We're actually talking about Jewish kings. So how to answer this Rashi on Daf Beis Amud Aleph is a discussion in some of the Achronim, and that is not my topic either. I'm just bringing it to the fore. But the issue which really comes, I think, in a fascinating way in two successive ibayos, two successive questions and answers here on Daf Beis Amud Beis, is the issue of how we appoint Jewish kings. Again, now that we realize we are talking about a Jewish king, what is the source of the power of the Jewish king, and what is the process, just simply the process, the mechanism, you know, for appointing, the king? So the Gemara is discussing the following case. The Gemara has a brisa, which tells us that if you have somebody who, the old king died in Adar at the end of 1 year, but the new king didn't become king until the second month, Adar of the next, Nisan of the next year. So how do you date a contract? And the Gemara makes it clear that Adar is still going to be the old king, and Nisan is going to be the new king. And then the Brisa seems to have a few members which seem to be redundant. And the Gemara asks about the first one, you know, isn't it obvious? Once you've told us that Nisan is Rosh Hashanah l'malachim, the old king died in Adar, he didn't make it into the new year, so obviously you can't count his reign in the new year. The new king didn't start until Nisan, so why would you think that the old year should count? So the Gemara says, perhaps we would have a Hava Mina, that what if he was Imnu, he was appointed in Adar, but he didn't start until Nisan. In the Kamash Malan, why is that not a good Hava Mina? Taka, why isn't that? The Gemara doesn't say. The Gemara just says it. Then the Gemara has another Brice, or another Memra, which seems to say the exact same thing. And we can't give the same answer, because we already know that answer. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we have a slightly variation case, which is, what if this king, which is now being appointed, the new, junior, young, up-and-coming king, what if he was the son of the previous king? And then he doesn't start until Nisan. So in terms of the calendar dates, nothing has changed. What has changed? The fact that he is Beyerusha. So there's an important Rashi. I'm having trouble without my Gemara locating the Rashi, but where is the Rashi? Yeah, here we go. It's right in the about almost in the middle of Rashi, Dibra Maschil. Almost down the middle of the page of Rashi. Dibra Maschil Umelech Ben Melechu. Everyone have it? It's parallel to the bottom of the Haggadah Sabbah on the outer margin. The imishum de imnu alei lo itzrech la'ashmunan. The shamina lemi reisha. It was just a basic case of appointed versus starting that we already saw in the previous case. But what's new about, what's novel in this case? Aval hashtet ikatarti. Here we have 2 points. Ema nimnu lei mikamaisa. Maybe we can even count him from the previous year. Kamash malon. And what is taka, the new point? But time moshel davar l'fisha amachos yerushahi. Ooh. So now you have 2 points. Number one is that he was himself appointed, and number two is he's not coming on his own completely. He's coming mikoach Yerusha. And kamash malon, it still doesn't work. So when I was learning this Gemara, when I taught it in the morning, I think I even raised the point to the guys in the morning shiur, which is that this is very, very fascinating. Because here, even more than in the first case, the Havamina seems better than the unexplained Maskana. Taka, why isn't it so? What does that mean? What does that mean that he's appointed, but he didn't yet start, and now he's not just appointed, but he's B'Yerusha? And it really raised a question in my mind, which I'd never, admittedly, I'd never explored. What does that mean to be appointed? I thought he's B'Yerusha. Mamanoshach. You know, long live the king. I mean, what does that mean? What does that mean? So what I would like to do, perhaps with specific reference to our Gemara as well, the note of Yehuda in an important tshuva, which we may be slightly disagreeing with, but the note of Yehuda actually quotes our Gemara, and there are other important achronim who discuss this, the notion of Malchus, and specifically other types of sraros, other types of leadership in Klal Yisrael, and the issue of Yerusha versus more popular consent, and obviously those things can be in conflict at times. And really, it's interesting, our Gemara and to some extent our Rashi seem to be relevant. So I wanted to use our Gemara and this sugya as a springboard to discuss the larger issue of what does it mean, what is the role of the king in halacha, and what is the process by which we choose, appoint, etc., a king. So of course, this goes back, if we really want to start in the beginning, with the pasuk, the well-known pasuk of Som Tasim Alecha Melech, the famous pasuk in the Chumash. And even though it's the description of Som Tasim is in the Lashon of a Tzivoy, it sounds like it's a command, it actually is a Machlokes Tanaim. The Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin on Daf Chaf Amud Beis quotes a Machlokes. Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi say that Taka, it is a positive mitzvah to appoint a king. And Rav Nahorai says, no, it doesn't require it at all. It's just the Torah is almost acknowledging a pre-existing state of affairs, or at the very most, I should say, a Devar Rishos, the option. The Rishonim debate had a paskin. There is a minority view, most well-known, associated with Yabar Benel, who seems to take the opinion that the Malchus is not necessarily obligatory, and if anything, and certainly not even desirable. The Yabar Benel notes, the Yabar Benel speaks both in Devarim, as well as in his introduction to Sefer Yehoshua. But most Rishonim understand, like the majority view in the Gemara, and exemplifying that Shita is the Rambam, Sefer Mitzvahs Kufayin Gimel and other places. Other Rishonim point out, no, there is an affirmative, positive mitzvah of appointing a king. It's clearly a chiyuv. What is striking is the following. And it could have launched this shiur from any one of a number of places, but let's do it this way. The Sefer Achinuch, in Mitzvah Tuf Tzadi Zayin, as he so often does, follows the sheet of the Rambam. And the Sefer Achinuch also holds that appointing a king is a king, is a mitzvah. However, the Chinuch, for those of you who are familiar with the Sefer Chinuch, at the end of each mitzvah, he always notes a few details, like housekeeping notes about the mitzvah. Are men obligated in? Are women? Both? And one of the other things that Chinuch often tells you is this a mitzvah that was just in the time of the Beis HaMikdash? Or is this a mitzvah that's no Heges Ladoros? Now, what would you expect the mitzvah of Minoy Melech to be? You would expect it to have been very temporary. Why? Because once David HaMelech, let's start with David, who's clearly the bechir of the Melachim. Once you have David, so if it goes B'Yerusha, if it's Ben Achar Ben, so l'chora, it should be automatic. When else are you going to do? The halachos of the Mishpat Melucha. Also in Shoftim, we have the halachos. How many wives? How many horses? That kind of stuff. Writing a Sefer Torah. So that might apply to every king independently. But the actual process of Minui Melech, think about it for a second.
No,
so that's interesting. So that is a question. So what do you do? What?
for the Rabbanim. There are more than one son.
Right. So these are all issues which need to be explored. What if you don't have any sons? Or what if you have multiple sons? Do you use the Dine Yerusha? Is there a halachos of Yerusha? You know, we are talking about the Yerusha. So do we go to Hilchos Yerusha, the same type of Yerusha that all of us are involved in, as children or as parents? Or is there something different? What does that mean? And many of the Nosei Kelim are very bothered. In fact, it's a very fascinating chinuch, because the chinuch asks on himself, when he kind of tells his son, Al Tishal, don't ask on me about how could this be, what about David HaMelech, and it should be all automatic from there. Says, but the chinuch's answer is a little bit radical, and the rest of the shir is going to be using the chinuch, but lav l'tamei, mitamei, because the chinuch kind of, in answering his own question, he radically redefines the mitzvah of Minoy Melech. He makes it very, very broad. And he basically says that anything you need to do to support the new king, even if he does not need a formal Minoy, because he is Shlomo HaMelech, and he is Ben Acher Ben, even though there is no formal Minoy, even though there may not be any Mashicha or any of the other accoutrements, but if there is something that needs anything to support the king, so to speak, to get it off the ground, is going to be a part of this mitzvah d'oraisa. So that's a huge, huge chiddush, and you could give a shir in and of itself, I guess, analyzing that, and presumably almost everyone else argues. But what I don't want to do that. What I would like to do, however, is to, so to speak, use his shita as a springboard. And let's argue, for argument's sake, assume that he's correct, that Minoy Melech is something that applies to Daros, but try to give our own answer to the question. In what sense could it be that you could have a more limited, defined Minoy Melech, the way we would have assumed it 2 minutes ago, that it means appointing a king, black and white, and yet, be working in an environment where you have, as Rashi brought out in our Gemara, as the Gemara itself brought out, a notion of Yerusha. Two things which at least, prima facie, on the face of it, seem to be, if not absolutely in conflict, then certainly in contrast. So in order to do that, let's start with a Yerushalmi and our Gemara. The Yerushalmi in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, in Perak Aleph, Halacha Aleph, discusses the following story in Tanakh, where one of the dark, dark personal stories of David HaMelech's life, or really of any great hero's life, when Avshalom was pursuing him. He's being pursued by his own son. We have a capital to Tehillim about this episode. And it took place about 6 months. So let me ask you a question. What was David HaMelech's status? Or should maybe better said, was he in fact David HaMelech when he was on the run? You'll recall, not only was he not high and mighty in the sense that he was on the run, his son had popular support. What was his status during that period? So the Yerushalmi says, in fact, he did not have the Din Melech. Yerushalmi says, David did not have the Din Melech when he was on the run. Lamai nafkamina. So Shlomo Horowitz pointed out to me in anticipation this morning, this topic that comes up in the beginning of our Masechta, especially as I chose to focus on it, it was actually a perfect segue from what our morning shiur just finished, which is Masechta Sarios. In fact, I'll have an opportunity, Mirtz Hashem, quite a few times in the next half an hour or so to quote from Masechta Sarios, where there's a lot of discussion of the king and his leadership. And one of the issues, which is the main theme there in Masechta Sarios, where it comes up is, what if you have someone who does an Aver B'Shogeg, which had he done it B'Mezid, he would be chayiv kares, or misa, something to that effect. So that's what's called a chatas. Every Jew who does such an avera b'shogeg, let's say you ate the forbidden fat of chaylev b'shogeg, you would have to bring a kisva or a se'ira, right? Either one of those two female animals. However, the Gemara says that there are certain exceptions. So one of the exceptions, which is the theme of the whole Masechta, the theme initially and certainly the leitmotif of the whole Masechta, is when you have a majority of the people sinning because of a mistake of the Sanhedrin, right? Massive rabbinic malpractice. So in that case, instead of everyone bringing this carbon chatas, the Sanhedrin brings one on behalf of everyone. But once, then that's the beginning of the Masechta, are those sugyas. But then the Gemara discusses, the Mishnayos discuss, other exceptions to the rule, and two of the exceptions are, what if a Kohen Gadol sins by accident, and what if a Melech sins by accident? The Melech is the exact same scenario as you or I. He just did a dumb klutz mistake. But because he's Melech, he has to bring a different animal. He has to bring a Seir. Correct? Yes, Seir. Yeah, the Kohen Gadol was the part. So, the Shaila is, when David HaMelech, if he was on the run, and he had committed an Aver B'Shogeg, what kind of carbon would he have brought? And the Gemara says he would have brought the carbon of the Hedjot. He would not have brought the carbon of the Melech. Right? That's Chiddush number one. However, if I, when I'm reading that Gemara, and that Yerushalmi, so if David lost the kingship, given the fact that Avshalom had moved into the palace and was pursuing him with popular support, so what would you think had happened to the title of king? It went to Avshalom. Right? That's what I would have thought. However, if you take a look at the second Yerushalmi, in Perek Beis of Sanhedrin, Halacha Aleph, there the Gemara says, no, that the Gemara talks about the fact that one of the things that Avshalom did, if you'll recall, to assert his melucha, was that he captured David's pelakshim, captured David's concubines. So once the rebellion was put down, the shaila was, could David live again with those concubines? And the Gemara in Yerushalmi says no. Why? Because it compares it to the general halacha, which usually prohibits anyone from living with the wife of a king. And if one does, or any woman who had ever lived with anybody else, is not allowed to be with the king. Shabikto shel melech. So the Gemara says that when these women were with Avshalom, that was a violation of this, and therefore they were defiled, and therefore they could no longer be with David. So you see from that Gemara that Avshalom did not have the din of a melech then. So what happened? David, one Yerushalmi says, wasn't melech. Avshalom wasn't melech. Does that mean there was no king? So I think it's possible to suggest, and years ago, and I want to give some credit where credit is due. Years ago, I recall Rabbi Moshe Tarragon came to YU, and I think it was a Thursday night. He gave a chabura, and he first brought an idea to my attention. I think he's since wrote it up. I think I once read an article of him as well. But I think there's an issue which I maybe first heard from him years ago, but I think it's operative here, and I think we'll be able to prove it in a number of scenarios, including getting back to our Gemara. And that is that I think that there are two different aspects in this halacha. And to put it in a succinct way, there's a difference between Malchus and there's a difference between the Melech. There's a difference between the Gavra Melech, the actual king, and an independent entity of the monarchy, or even of the reign of a particular family, which could go from generation to generation and king to king. Malchus is this general idea of the dynasty which passes from generation. It's a political institution, and that's independent of any particular king. Then there's the halacha of the Gavra Melech, which does two things. Number one, there are halachos that apply to him, what he must do, what he can't do. And then there are halachas that apply to us. How do we treat him? What must we do for him? What are we not allowed to do? Those are halachos in the Gavra Melech. But then I think there are other halachos in the particular, and then the notion of the Malchus. So when it comes to David and Avshalom, what you see from the Yerushalmi is that at that point, there was no Gavra Melech. And Echanami, there was no Melech. But when David retook, did he have to get anointed? The answer is no. Because the Malchus stayed. You can have Malchus, and this is what I'm going to hopefully try to prove with a number of examples in a moment, but this is the thesis. You can have Malchus even without the Melech. What I'll hopefully also try to prove is that you can even have a Melech without Malchus. But right now, we just want to make sure that we're all on the same page, that we have these two different aspects. I think that's the Yerushalmi with David and Avshalom. And it also may be the Chinuch. So we said, how could the Chinuch say that Mitzvah Minoy Melech applies L'doros? I, isn't it the Yerusha? So to answer his own kasha on himself, the Chinuch redefines the notion of what Minoy Melech includes. It reminded me, I didn't see if anyone made this tushdel, but it reminded me of something that we've discussed in the Minchas Chinuch Shir, and years ago we discussed in the Shabbos Shir, in the Sechas Kiddushin, which is Bris Mila. A big discussion about what's the definition of Bris Mila, and if it's Mitzvah Shezman Gromo, which it seems to not be from the Gemara. So there's different explanations for why, after all, it seems to be a perfect candidate. It's got to be at night, again, during the day, has to be on the eighth day. So there's different answers to that question. But one of the answers, which is in variation given by Tosos Rida and the Orza Rua, is to radically redefine the mitzvah, to be much, much broader, to include all sorts of things, including not the milah itself, and things that can be done at night. very, very radical. But it's a similar thing here. The chinuch, if you take the narrow definition, he seems to have a problem. So what does he do? He expands the definition to get out of the problem. But now we could say no. You could keep the same definition of Minei Melech that we walked in the room with. We could assume a more narrow definition. But what you see are two different things. There's Melech and there's Malchus. What stays Ladoros? Once David HaMelech had the Mashiach, barring anything that in theory could sever the link, and maybe you could sever it, that's a Shiloh, maybe we can get into. But that automatically is the dynasty. Malchus applies forever. But actual Minoy Melech? Perhaps that's required every time. Perhaps that's the Raya you see from our Gemara and our Rashi. That even though he's Beirusha, and we knew that already in Adar. But maybe until there's a formal minoy in Nisan, he wasn't king. Now that last point I want to note, the spirit of honesty, the note of Yehuda seems to reject. The note of Yehuda is not giving a comprehensive shir like we are, but the note of Yehuda in Mahadura Kama, Choshen Mishpat, Siman Aleph, the note of Yehuda does make reference to our Gemara, does make reference to the Rashi, and he wants to suggest that perhaps there's something less than formal minui. In other words, people have to get along, we have to agree who the king is, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's a formal minui. But I'm working with the assumption that, admittedly, with great trepidation, given the note of Yehuda, that that's not the case. That in fact, that there is such a notion, and specifically, perhaps even found in our Gemara, that no, that you do need a formal minoy. You may not need a mashicha, that's a Gemara, which we'll get to shortly, but you may not need a subsequent anointing with the oil. But anointing and appointing are two different words, not only in English, but also in Hebrew. Now, that sound the same. Minoy and mashicha are also two different things. And I would suggest that even though you may not need a mashicha, but there may still be the requirement of a formal minoy, and not just to rubber stamp the Yerusha, but to add a new dimension. Not only is this a person who is, so to speak, just the custodian of the family trust of the family dynasty, but that's when he has the minoy, so then, as a gavra, he has the kedusha of the melech. And I hope, as I said, I'll take your question, Shraga, and then I want to get into some other gemaras and other rambams, which I hope will illustrate this point. Yes?
Did you really going to say what the masculine is if you have a mouth of that
melech? Yes. Yes. We're going to get to it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Okay. So, first of all, as I said, one issue is the dating of the shtar. Right? What constitutes the year for the king? So, from our Gemara already, if our analysis is correct, what you just plug in our Gemara, what you see is that the Malchus is not enough to date the shtar. The change in the dating of the shtar from one person's reign to the next is not enough to just be part of the Malchus. It has to be the particular minoy of the Gavra Melech. That's number one. Number two, which I alluded to already, it's a Gemara in Harios on Daf Yoram at Aleph, is the special chatas. At what point does the king bring the special chatas, and at what point does he still bring a chatas of a hedjot? So Shlomo Neil, I may recall that when we were doing the Harios, both about the Kohen Gadol and about a Melech, the Gemara actually asked this question beferish, without the Lumdish trappings, at least not explicitly. One could suggest that they were always there under the surface. But the Gemara asks the question, what if you have someone who was appointed but had not yet, started? He hadn't started exactly. And the Gemara there says that perhaps he would not yet have the formal status. In other words, again, just being part of the family dynasty may not be enough to trigger this halacha. To be more specific now, there's a big, big sugya. If we have time, I don't want to go too late, and it's already 9 o'clock, I just looked at my watch. But if we have time, maybe we'll get to it. But there's a longer sugya than I can add to it justice. But bottom line, Lamaisa, who does the anointment? Who does it? What's the process? What is required? So, the Rambam in Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel, there's two different opinions in Ramban, and then there is the Rambam who has a third approach. The Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, Perak Aleph, Halacha Gimel, says, Ein ma'amid in melech betchila. You're starting off a reign. It's a David Melech, or for whatever reason, something else from scratch. El pi bezeh shal shivim zakenim, ve'al pi navi. You need both the Sanhedrin and the Navi. Ki Yehoshua, Sheminhu Moshe Rabbeinu, U Beis Dino. Uchashol V'David, Sheminam Shmuel Haramasi, U Beis Dino. However, the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin, in the beginning of Parakeh, when he discusses successive kings who are being appointed, there the Rambam only mentions the Sanhedrin. He does not mention the Navi. So what changed? So you could say it's Lav Dafka, and that's in Hilchos Sanhedrin, so you need to mention the Navi for.
Maybe you could say at the very beginning, you need both.
But, exactly. But in the beginning, that's the Rambam's Diuk, Bitchila, when you're creating the dynasty. So you need the Navi. But once you have the dynasty, and that's on autopilot, but it's just a shaila of appointing this guy to be the custodian of the dynasty, so for that, Sanhedrin is sufficient. What I do hope to finish with is what is represented, even in a quasi-political philosophy sense, between the appointment, the koch that comes from a Navi as opposed to comes from the Sanhedrin. But that'll be a footnote to the shir. But fundamentally, you see from this Rambam, you see, again, I think this distinction as well, that Malchus, it's better and it's worse. It's weaker and it's stronger in a sense. It's less personal, but on the other hand, because it's, kolos koshos, getting off the ground requires the Navi. Just plugging in the individual guy, it's sufficient to have the Sanhedrin. So I mentioned there's Minui and there is Meshicha, appointment and anointment. So that is exactly the Shiloh. When is one sufficient and when do you require both? So the Gemara in Harios and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis tells us that a king of an initial dynasty requires both appointment, but also to be anointed with the Shem and Amishcha. However, the Gemara says, and this is another Gemara as well, in Krisos and Daf Hei, if you have a Ben Melech, like our Gemara, a son taking after his father, he does not need to be anointed. Now, what that means, is discussed by some Achronim in Krisos, is that he doesn't need it, or that the anointing of his father counts for him. That's kind of an incidental question. Well, maybe not totally incidental, but for our purposes, we won't get into that. But just for our purposes, again, the shaila is, how do you understand this discrepancy? So it could be very technical. And especially if you hold that his father's minoy counts for him, so maybe what I'm about to say is less compelling. But it's certainly arguable. I could put it in the most modest way. It's arguable, I think, but it's definitely arguable, so I'll be firm and cautious at the same time. It's definitely arguable that this is not just a technicality, but again, it's all based on our analysis. To start the Malchus, that you need the Shem and Mishchar, just like you needed the Navi. But once you have that, it's just a question of plugging in this guy, this particular son, so then it may be sufficient to have Sanhedrin, and to not need Shem and Amishcha. We're going to get to that. Very good, Eli. You remember well. Good. In fact, let's get to it right now. So Eli remembers that the Gemara in Hurios had an exception to that rule. When do you say sometimes that the Ben, the guy who takes over, does require the oil? Rabbi Akson alluded to this earlier. What if you have different sons? And let's say they're not also agreeable. Now, we've had this a little bit in recent contemporary Jewish history. Certain dynasties become available, and there's no obvious heir, or at least it's not obvious to someone else who should be heir. And you could have all sorts of machlokes. So one thing I know is that they would not have gone to our coast to solve it. Okay, that's my only editorial comment. But Lamaisa, it could have been messy then too. It's not just in our day that things can get messy. It could have been messy there as well. So Lamaisa, once it's resolved, and again, the Gemara seems to imply, the Rambam talks about this, that the elders, whoever the leaders are, have to make a decision. But Lamaisa, the Gemara says, once you have the choice of which son it will be, then you have to do a Meshicha. Now, the truth is that if you read further in the Gemara Harios, it seems like it's not necessarily a real Meshicha. Because the Gemara seems to say that you don't use the special Shemana Mishcha for Moshe Rabbeinu, you use this Shemana Farsimon. And it sounded like it was almost like Mamash, I think I said at the time in the morning, sure, like political stagecraft. You know, we did it to quell the machlokas. You make a big dramatic pompous circumstance. You know, maybe not as much money as they're going to spend tomorrow. But you can make a whole big program that shows that the people are behind this person. That seems to be the sheet of the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Malachim in Perak Aleph, Halacha Yud Beis. I don't have time to read it. I don't think so. But there was no machlokas. Says the Rambam, Ein Moshech Melech Ben Melech, a son who takes over from his father, there's no Mashicha. El Im Kein Haiz L'Sham Machlokas, or Melchama, when there's some, you know, leave aside the Melchama for a second. Then Moshech and so, but says the Rambam, it's political, it's diplomatic. Kidei L'Salik HaMachlokas.
It doesn't have an effect on the actual status.
Correct.
It's a riot.
See, you could say such a thing. 8A Raya as opposed to 8A Q.
So for Shlomo HaMelech, it wasn't the real Shem HaMelech?
Correct, that's what the Rambam says now. I stopped right before that.
But how do you say
that? That's what the Rambam seems to imply, yes.
But how do you say there was no Machlokas, considering what his father had been doing?
No, there was Machlokas. But he didn't need, he needed this stagecraft. He didn't need the real thing. What I want to point out, though, is that Rashi, notwithstanding the fact that the Gemara, as I remember it, in Horios seemed to be pretty clear. But leave aside what kind of oil it is. That, I think, was the Farish in our Gemara in Horios. But Rashi increases this on that Heyam and Beis, reads it much more into it. According to Rashi, it's not just stagecraft, and it's just a, you know, Shalom, Aaron HaKohen type thing. According to Rashi, it's a bona fide Mashiach. You have, in essence, an equivalent between starting up Masos Beis David and any time there would be a Machlokas. And if you wanted to give a whole Musar speech about Machlokas, so this would be a good Mar Makom. You know, Machlokas Mamish, it nullifies anything. It even nullifies Machlokas Beis David. And if you have to emerge from Machlokas, it's like a phoenix coming from the ashes, your Mamish got to start over. That's Rashi. However, according to the Rambam, it's just this separate point. And again, L'chora, what they're arguing about is exactly this. When you have a machlokas, so what's threatened? The Rambam is certainly the more pashup shot, not only because of the Gemara Horius, but also because of our whole analysis. The Malchus isn't threatened. The Malchus is the family dynasty. These are two sons. So Manavshak, the family dynasty, stays intact. And Lechora, according to what we had been saying, if the Mashiach is just for the Malchus, you should not need a real Mashiach. I, the Gemara, says there is a Mashiach. Yeah, probably just this political stagecraft thing. Right, you understand? But, therefore, the Rambam says, it's really Als the Minoy Melech, in this case, this particular Melech, needs a little help with his political, support. So instead of, gerrymandering a district, we got to give him, this, but it's all politics 101. However, Rashi seems to hold, in light of our analysis, no, that when you have Machlokes, that even compromises the Malchus. And when the Malchus is broken, not just the Gavra Melech, so then you require Mashiach. Few more points and then we'll conclude. Gemara Hoyos is also a very strange Gemara. Talks about the king who gets tsaras. While he has tsaras, he's out of commission. And the Gemara gives an exact proof from Yotam, whose father Azariah had tsaras. And during this period, since Azariah's status of king was suspended, so Yotam handled certain duties. Yet it's clear from the Gemara that even though Yotam was handling certain duties, he did not become king. There was no melech then. With tsaras, the king cannot be melech. But malchus remained intact. And therefore, when he recovered, he could resume as being king without any need for any new type of minui. What about the following case? The Rambam Menuchel Malachim here at the Paragal of Halacha Zayin discusses, what if the worthy, let's say, only son or worthy son, as the case may be, is a katan, is a minor? What do you do? So the Rambam holds that you hold the job. It's like Breslov or Lubavitch, if you will. You don't fill the job with a Gavra Melech. You hold it while you train him. And then he becomes king. Ben katan, Misharmin lo hamalucha ad shiyagdil. You hold it. Now, it's worth noting, it's a Meiri. in Harios. Meiri says you appoint a person. But I think you knock him off. I mean, not literally knock him off, but you retire him when the king, when the son is old enough. So it's kind of a temporary position. According to Meiri, but according to the Rambam, what's more interesting... Right, but the Rambam is more interesting to me. The Rambam holds you don't have to do that. But Shamrinla, you just hold, you just, you know, make sure no one else takes the job. You just hold it. So again, what do you see? Malchus without Melech. We could have a situation for a number of years where Judaism has no Melech, but when he becomes king, we don't look at it as he's starting from scratch with Mashiach v'chulei v'chulei, because Malchus remained intact. And now comes a beautiful, fascinating Minchas Chinuch. Says the Minchas Chinuch, what if there are no heirs? Or what if there's only a wife? Or what if there's only a daughter? What do you do then? The Pasuk says, it's a famous Pasuk, the Rambam here quotes it, Melech Velo Malka. So what do you do? So the Rambam very famously applies that to Kol Sraros Ba'olam, a woman can't have. Famously and controversially. But everyone agrees it's a Sifri. The Sifri says, Melech Velo Malka. There's no such thing as, you know, Queen Malka. So, you would have thought, I don't know what you do, you got to start a new line. I mean, it would be political turmoil. Says the Minchas Chinuch, Malchus is B'Yerusha. In a case where you have no sons, or whatever Dina Yerusha is, but at some point, in certain cases, the daughter is going to be Yoresh, she would Yoresh the Malchus. What do you mean she can't be king? And Echanami, but she, it's fungible. It goes through her, she's the power broker. It goes through her to her children, to her sons. So first of all, the concept, even if it happened simultaneously, let's say she had a 25-year-old son who was Roy. So even so, conceptually, something fascinating just occurred. Secondly, let's say she had no children. Let's say she's 12, or 14, or whatever. Again, what you see, the notion is that while the Gavra Melech has certain halachos, she can't be a Gavra Melech, she can be the custodian of Malchus and hand that down, Birusha, because Malchus is the part that's Birusha, to her family. You asked me, Shraga, what about the reverse case? Can you have Melech without Malchus? And the answer to that, I think, is yes. I think that's Malchus Yisrael. Once you had the tragic civil war, if you will, or the secession of the 10 tribes from the 2 tribes, there's a notion of Malchus Yisrael. What's the halacha of Malchus Yisrael? So I think that's the halacha. They have the status of a melech, utilitarian-wise, etc. But they did not have the status of Malchus. Which is, because Malchus is Malchus based David. Which is why you did not do Mashiach with the Shem and Amishcha for them.
So did they have to bring a special
status? No.
Did you go to the Beit
HaMikdash? Yeah, granted that was
I don't think so, right? I don't...
If they have the Shem Dabra...
What?
But they have some status.
I'm sorry. First of all, I'm sorry. No, the answer is no.
No?
My instinct, and we're both wrong. But my notes are right, which is the more of it. My notes always are smarter than me. The Gemara says it. The Gemara Harius and Daf Yud Aleph Amar Aleph that Malchi Yisrael did bring. Malchi Yisrael did bring the special carbon. I don't know. I don't remember if they had a Sefer Torah that I didn't look into. Huh? Again, we had corrupt. Listen, the Malchus in Yisrael is obviously a checkered history. A lot of it was corrupt, etc., etc. But anyway, okay. I want to end. I do have 2 minutes, so let me just, in the 2 minutes that I have left, if you still have a head for it, no one's rushing out to the snow, hopefully. Let me just share with you something which I think it's bordering on the philosophical, but I think there's enough halachic meat that it's bona fide. And that is the following. Within the notion, well, I shouldn't say that, corresponding to these two aspects of Malchus versus Melech, I think there are two roles of the king. One is a practical, utilitarian function as a political leader. And the second is as a demus, as a representative of the Melech Malchei Hamlachim. Much the same way that according to many, both the Gemara and Kiddushin seems to imply this, and numerous Rishonim seem to make this even clearer, that the idea of Kibra V'Ein, is that parents represent for children an idea of a borei in a tangible way that people can relate to, as opposed to the abstract Ribono Shel Olam. So similarly, the idea of having the demus of a melech may serve that similar role. That's there's numerous halachos, I think, which may be able to be explained by this. And this, I would say, specifically is limited to Malchei Beis David, because that is what corresponds to Malchus. And for example, a model, I gave you the model of Kibbutz Abayim, but a more intimate model, is the Kohen Gadol. We know the Kohen Gadol is a big shaila, Shlucha Dedan, Shlucha Derachmana, the definition of the Kohen Gadol, how much is he representing us and representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there's certainly a lot of evidence of him representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, certainly in Birkas Kohanim, etc., as he's kind of a tzinu or a funnel for the Shefa. And there's a halacha, the Rambam talks about the status, the Gemara in Krisus and Davavah Mebeis, about Mi'ila with the Shem and HaMishcha. Let's say you use the oil for private purposes. So the Gemara there says that a melech and or the Kohen Gadol, it's not a good thing, but that's not called mi'ila. Mi'ila means that it's your mamish, a private person, and you're using hektish. But a melech and a Kohen Gadol, they're not supposed to be doing this with the oil. Nevertheless, melech v'kohen, mikra, mikara, lo zorin. They're not a zor. So the comparison between Melech and Kohen Gadol here, I think, is very telling. But more, first of all, I'll just tell you one quick Ramban, and then we'll end with a Rambam. The Ramban in Vayechi, which is a very big place list on Yehuda, and Lo Yasu Shevet Yehuda, so the Ramban in Perek Memtes mentions the idea, and this is also discussed about the Chashmonaim, that if there's a Tzorah Hashah, you can have a king who's not from Beis David, and he won't have Mashiach, but he'll lack the Hod Malchus, the splendor of the king. So, it's enigmatic. It could mean all sorts of things. What? Says the Rabbi. So what does that mean? So I think this is what it means. What it means is that you can have the notion of a king with all of the responsibilities and maybe even some, if not all, of the privileges of being king, but not necessarily this additional element of that kedusha as being a representative of the Ribono Shel Olam. The Rambam here is late. I don't want to read it inside, and I didn't manage my time well. I'm sorry, but the Rambam here in Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin. This is the key Rambam. It's also the King Rambam that relates to our Halacha in Rosh Hashanah. It's a lengthy Rambam, and part of my point was about the length. Where he makes the point about how you start off a kingship, a monarchy, with Mashiach. Then you have Yerusha. If you have Yerusha, you don't need Mashiach. The Rambam says the whole thing, gives you the whole basic details, and then he talks about Dina Yerusha, that the Ben HaGadol comes before a Ben HaKatan, like Dina Yerusha, but he has to be a Ro'i. And that's the job of the Sanhedrin and or a Navi to determine if he's Roy for the job. And then after all of that, the Rambam seems to repeat everything a second time. Kevin Shinim Shach David Zacha Bekeser Malchus. Vahari HaMalchus Lo Levon of HaZacharim Ad Olam Shinamar, etc., etc. Only the Kisherim, the oldest, every detail he just said more generally, he then repeats about David and his family. What's going on? It seems to be unnecessarily redundant. So the Chora, that's the same thing here as well. And in the first half of the Rambam, let me just find the one line. The Rambam says, "Lo malchus bilvad el kol hasraros v'haminuyin shab Yisrael Yerusha he livno uleben beno ad olam." The first half of the Rambam is speaking about the idea of a leader in that pragmatic utilitarian sense. Haraya, he even applies it to non-kings. Stam, leaders. There's a halacha of Yerusha when it comes to leaders. However, he then wants to tell you that there's a second din. When you have Malchus Beis David with a Roy king to inherit Malchus Beis David, then you don't just have a pragmatic leader, hopefully a good leader, but then you have the Kedusha of representing Melech Malchei Hamlochim. And that's a second din, which is through Siyata Rishmaya, only Beis David was Zochet to. And I think this is really the issue. Where does the power come from? Does it come from the people, or is it coming from the Baruch Shalom? Is it Shlucha Dedan, or Shlucha Rachmana? And in the ideal picture with Malchus Beis David, the answer is you have both. You have Malchus and Melech, the people, and the Rabbanu Shel Olam. The actual Gavra Melech as a leader that comes from the people, they have to accept him, they have to appoint him. The Malchus as the perpetual dynasty of Beis David, hopefully again on the high level that it's supposed to be, so that is this dynasty which applies always. That's the one that needed to have been inaugurated with the Shemana Mishcha, with, according to the Rambam, the Navi, and the Sanhedrin, etc., etc. And that's not so much the practical aspect of being king. That's the idea of having something in this world which represents Malchus Shemayim. Any questions? Okay. Brukim to you.